We've been going, we are going through the book of Ephesians. This morning we're going to read from Ephesians chapter 1, beginning in verse 15. This is Paul's first prayer that he has for the brothers and sisters in Christ. And he has two prayers, one in chapter 3 and one here. And so we're going to look and read this prayer this morning, but I want us to concentrate on verses 15 and 16. There is so much in this passage concerning prayer that I want us to just take a deep breath and slow down and think about prayer and how we pray. So before we study this morning, let's pray. Father in heaven, we just praise your holy name, for you are the true and living God. And beside you there are no other gods. Thank you for the life you've given us in Christ, freeing us from the bondage of sin and death. Thank you that you dwell in us by your Holy Spirit, that you teach us all things that you want us to know and to have and to live by from your word. So I pray now, Father, that as we study your word, you will teach us from your word by your Holy Spirit. You'll enable us to focus on your word and what it means to each of us. Please keep the evil one from us, that we may listen to your voice and yours only. May your children be spiritually refreshed and renewed and encouraged. And may anyone here today who does not know Jesus as their Savior, that you will effectually call them to yourself. For this I ask in Jesus' name, amen. Let us stand for the reading of God's holy word. Ephesians chapter 1, beginning in verse 15. For this reason, because I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love toward all the saints, I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of Him, having the eyes of your hearts enlightened, that you may know what is the hope to which He has called you, what are the riches of His glorious inheritance in the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of His power toward us who believe, according to the working of His great might that He worked in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and seated Him at His right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And He put all things under His feet and gave Him His head over all things to the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him who fills all in all. Amen. You may be seated. We're going to look at verses 15 and 16 this morning. And we're going to focus on our own hearts. Why do you and I pray? And why do we pray for each other? Why do we do this? Well, because it's in the Bible, and because I'm supposed to. Well, that's okay, but it should be a little bit deeper than that. And this is what we're going to see in verses 15 and 16. Notice how Paul begins this, for this reason. And so he's going to give us the reason why he prayed for brothers and sisters in Christ. And look what he says in the next line. Because I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus. Let's stop there. Because I have heard. The verb to hear means more than just to hear audibly. It means to understand. And so what Paul is saying here, because not only have I heard about your faith, but I understand your faith. He's heard about the testimony of the believers in Ephesus and in other places. And notice he says here, your faith. Do folks know about your faith? Where you live, where you work, wherever you go on a consistent basis? Do folks know about your faith? Do they know about my faith? The house where Mary Ellen and I are living in, and been there 29 years now, it's always been the house for the preacher. It's a marked house. And so they know the preacher lives there. Anybody want to buy that house when we move out? So they watch us. Do people watch you? Yes, they do. They all watch everybody. And that's okay. As long as they're seeing Christ in us, as long as they're seeing faithfulness that you and I have in Christ in everyday living, we can talk about our faith, but when we live it and people see it, it speaks volumes. You know, anybody can talk a good ball game, but let's put you out on the field and see what you can do. Anybody can talk about being a believer and being a believer, but what about living it? And so one of the reasons we should pray for one another is because we know each other well enough that we can see in each other the trust that we have in Christ, the confidence that we have in Him. And so whatever you and I are facing in life, we face it in Christ with our faith. We trust that God loves us, that God's going to provide for us, that whatever we're facing in our life, God's going to walk with us through it. And so Paul saw that and heard of that in the believers at Ephesus and in the surrounding area. And so he prayed for them. I have heard of your faith, your personal trust, your personal confidence in God, in who He is as He's revealed Himself to us in the Word, and how He has proven His love for us every day that we live. So we pray for each other, because that faith is real and it's alive and we experience it on a daily basis. So I've heard of your faith. Now, what do you have faith in, or in whom do you trust? And the prepositional phrase, in the Lord Jesus. Again, that preposition, in, the parameters, in the Lord and in Him only. Now, let's look at the name Lord. Lord is kurios in the Greek, and it can mean master, it can mean owner, sovereign one. He's the one in charge. Now, as you and I have Jesus as our Savior, as you know, Jesus means Savior. He is the only Savior, the only one that we have life in. And so we have eternal life. So we trust in Jesus. But Paul says, the Lord Jesus. Notice the definite article before Lord. The Lord Jesus. The only Lord Jesus. Now, let's focus on the name Lord. Two things about Lord. First of all, there is obedience. There is obedience. He's revealed Himself to each of us by His Spirit. He's revealed Himself to us in the Word of God. And so your knowledge and my knowledge of who the Lord is should come from the Scripture only. It's very important that what you believe about the Lord and the one in whom you have your trust and your confidence in, it's the Lord of the Bible. Because if you get the understanding of the Lord from other people, you could really get a skewed view of God and who He is. So you must, whatever you believe about the Lord Jesus, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, can you go to Scripture, look at chapter and verse in the Bible, and back it up? That's why you need to know the Bible and the Lord. Now, in knowing the Lord, there are two things here, as I said. One is obedience to His Word. Do you and I obey the Lord? As He speaks to your heart from His Word by the Holy Spirit, showing each of us as His children what He expects, what He requires of us, giving us the ability to understand His Word by His Holy Spirit, do we obey Him? I hope and pray we all do. We strive to be obedient as we walk in the Spirit so we don't fulfill the desire of the flesh. Now there's another aspect of the Lord, and that is His will. His will. Do you and I submit to the will of God? As you and I pray, as you and I say, Lord, show me what You want me to be. Lead me in my life, what You want me to be, what You want me to do. And the Lord says, turn left up here. You say, what? I don't want to. I said, turn left. Are we willing to submit to the Lord? And people see around us that we submit to the Lord, that we obey His Word. And it might not make a whole lot of sense to you and to me, but we know the Lord is leading in our lives. And we are to obey Him. We are to submit to His will. Now, as I look around this room, y'all are well and alive and breathing. Good Presbyterians, you're sitting here quietly. But we're all stubborn too. We want to do what we want to do. And there are times we bow our backs against God. We disobey. We do not submit. And all of you know this. But that should become, as we grow in the Lord, that should become less and less and less. Now, we won't be perfect when we get, as long as we're here, but don't tell everybody that, because there's some who think they really are. But we won't be. We won't be perfectly holy and obedient and submissive until we get to heaven. But we should be striving to be obedient and submitting to God every step of the way. And so when Paul says here that he's heard of their faith in the Lord Jesus, it's because these people, by God's grace and the Spirit of God living in them, they are striving to the best of their ability as they're led by the Holy Spirit to walk in obedience. And that's why we pray for each other. You all pray for Mary Eleanor and me to be this way. And for our whole family, that we will obey the Lord, that we will submit to the Lord, and we will walk, as we pray for each of you for the same way. Because Satan doesn't want us to do that. And he'll try anything he can to stop you and me, to prevent us from walking in obedience. And we need to pray for each other. And our faith would grow stronger and stronger each day in the Lord Jesus. Now, Paul goes on to say also the reason he prays, and your love toward the saints. And your love, look at that pronoun there, your love. And we're told in Romans 5:5 that the Holy Spirit pours the love of God into our hearts. So you and I have a continuous flow of the love of God into us by the Holy Spirit. Now, what do we do with it? What are you and I doing with the agape, the love of God, that is poured into our hearts? It should come into us, change us, and then flow out to other people as we show that agape, that love of choice, love of commitment, and love of loyalty to those around us, to brothers and sisters in Christ. And God doesn't mean for us to just hold on to this love and never let it out or share it with anybody. My goodness, He shares His love with us. How are you and I sharing it with others? And here again, we need to pray for one another that that's exactly what we would do. And that's why we pray. We pray that we would love other people. Now, Paul says that he's heard about their love for all the saints. Look at the word all. Not some, not a few, but all the saints. Do you and I love all the saints? Well, only if they're Presbyterian, and if they're Presbyterian, if they're really Reformed. That's not acceptable. If a person loves the Lord Jesus Christ, they're walking with the Lord, their theology might be a little different, but as long as they have a commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ and Him alone for salvation, they are a saint. They've been called by God, separated from their sins, separated from the world, and dedicated to God. Now hold on to your seats. I became a believer in a Baptist church, because that's when God revealed to me I needed Jesus to be my Savior first and foremost. When I was in the Air Force, and I met a lot of nice, loving Christians in that church, just like we have here, and just like you'll find in a lot of other churches. So do we love the saints? That is, all people who trust in Christ alone for salvation. We should. And that's why we should pray that we would have a love in our hearts for all people. As Hunter prayed this morning, who would miss us if we were not on this corner? Boy, that's a powerful prayer right there. Who would? Would we be missed? Would you be missed if you moved out of your neighborhood? And why would you be missed? Hopefully it'd be because of your presence and the presence of the Lord in your home and the influence that you have but don't realize in that community, because you and I show the love of Christ not only to the saints in that neighborhood but to those who aren't saints. And that's why we pray for each other. Because we know the war that we're in this world, and how rampant that war is, and how ungodly that war can be. We just lived through a week of political war. Satan's fighting for the soul of this country. And we need to pray for saints in these areas of politics. We need to pray for saints to stand for the truth, to be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. Prayer is a powerful weapon that cannot be removed from you and me as believers. But we pray for one another because we know of their faith. We know of the faith of each other and the love that we have for all the saints. Now let's move on into verse 16. I do not cease to give thanks for you. I do not cease to give thanks for you. Notice now Paul is thankful for those saints. Thankful that God has saved them, committed them to Himself, and is faithful to Him in that community where they're living. We need to be thankful for each other. Thankful that God has placed us together in this fellowship here. Thankful that God has placed other believers in our lives. And how God uses other believers in our lives. And He does that. Notice He says, I do not cease to give thanks for you. I will always give thanks for you. Do we give thanks? Do you give thanks for brothers and sisters in Christ in our fellowship here at Third and in the places where you work and in your family? To genuinely give thanks for God bringing that brother or sister into your life and what that brother or sister has done to influence you for Christ and to challenge you? Turn with me, if you will, to Proverbs chapter 27. Proverbs chapter 27 and verse 17. Proverbs 27:17. Iron sharpens iron, and one man sharpens another. Iron sharpens iron, as one man sharpens another. And sometimes that sharpening process hurts. Sometimes God brings people into our lives to point out our sin. We're told in Ephesians chapter 4. Look at Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 15. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ. Speaking the truth in love. You know, sometimes when we want to go straighten somebody out, I'm going to tell them a thing or two. And you might be speaking the truth, but it comes in a harsh, angry fashion. And that causes further damage. But speaking the truth in love, being honest. And we've all learned that some people say they want the truth, and then you tell them and they get mad at you. They can't handle the truth. Because sometimes the truth is very difficult to handle. And then there are those who feel like that we're wrong and they're right, and they try to conform us to what they want us to be. And that's wrong. And that's where we live. That's what we have to contend with. And that's difficult. When you're misunderstood and people accuse you of things that you're not guilty of. So what do? I recommend you pray. Lord, am I really that way? Am I really that bad? Have I done that? And then you've got to rely on the Holy Spirit to direct you. So we do not cease to give thanks for the people that God has brought to Himself and how He has used them in our lives. And He uses all of us in each other's lives. Let's continue on in verse 16. Remembering you in my prayers. Remembering you in the prayers. Two things about that word remembering. The way it's written there, it means being consistent in prayer. Being consistent in prayer. How consistent are you and I in praying? See, whenever I get in a bind, I pray. Whenever I don't know what to do. But as long as everything is all right, I'm fine. I don't need to pray. Thank you, God. Being consistent in prayer is having time set aside to pray. When my brother and I were growing up, we come from a baseball family. And you got to go way back on this. I think most of you would remember this. Remember the game of the week with Dizzy Dean and Pee Wee Reese? When that ball game came on, life in our home stopped because we sat down with Daddy and we watched that ball game. And we sat there and watched that game. Now, we wanted to. But that was an appointed time every Saturday. Daddy would get that grass cut and whatever we had to do, we would do it. But boy, when that hour came, boom, we watched that ball game. Do you have a time of prayer that when that hour comes, boom, you pray? Y'all have your special TV programs? Wait just a minute. What are they? Okay, we'll start over here. No. But do you have a time to pray where we're constant, we're consistent in prayer, praying for one another? Brothers and sisters in Christ, we need prayer and we need it now. The other thing in remembering is to remember. It means to call to mind. That's why a prayer journal is very helpful. To remember not only to pray and be consistent, but then to have specific individuals we pray for. That's all part of remembering as well. Being consistent and then being focused when we pray. Where we pray from our heart. And that's a major part of praying, is praying from the heart. It is so important to pray from here. What God places on our hearts for each other. And I would suggest that during the day, when the Lord places the name of a brother or sister in Christ on your heart or your mind, it just pops on you like that, the first thing I would encourage you to do is pray for that brother or sister. There is a reason why his or her name has come to your mind. And then pray for them, and then sometime during the day, give them a call, see how things are going. That might be... It is good to do that. Notice also in my prayers. In my prayers. You are the only one that can pray. We're all responsible to God to pray to Him. And it's like I told the children, praying is like talking to people. There's a difference there because God is holy. And when we come before Him, we have to confess our sin and repent and ask for forgiveness. We have to be focused. We have to take time to, at least I have to take time to get my mind focused on prayer. Take a few minutes, however long you need, to get calm and focused before God and who He is, and realize that you're in His presence and that His ear is attentive to you and He is listening. And the fact that He wants you to pray. Jesus said in Matthew 6, when you pray, not if. Brothers and sisters, we need to pray for one another, for all the saints. We really need that. And you and I need a consistent time every day. I would recommend that you don't do it just before bedtime, because you're tired. I'm tired. Try to find a time when you're going to be alert. I would recommend you walk a couple of miles a day and use that time to pray. You won't fall asleep walking. And if you do, they better get you to the hospital, okay? But seriously, some of the best time I have in praying is when I'm walking of a morning. Nobody's messing with me. There are no phones. I'm hitting that track and I'm gone. Have a time to pray. Praying for brothers and sisters in Christ. And so when we look at Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 15, "For this reason, because I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love toward all the saints, I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers." I hope and pray that all of us do that. You're doing it now. You just remain faithful in it. And then watch God work. Watch God work in you, and watch God work in the saints you're praying for. And you will see God moving when you and I do that. Got to begin with your personal faith and trust in Christ. You have to have Jesus as Savior. And when you have Jesus as Savior, boy, then you can talk to Him. You can pray and He'll be listening. And I promise you, He will answer. You and I need to listen for the answer and watch for it. Shall we pray? Father in heaven, thank you for your love to us. Thank you for your faithfulness to us, that you've called us to be your children. You've adopted us as your very own. And Father, I thank you that when we do pray, you listen. Your ear is attentive to our cry. And you always answer according to your will, which is the best for us. And so, Father, I pray for my brothers and sisters in Christ here today. You know our hearts. You know our needs, our cares, our anxieties, our frustrations, our hurts. Meet every need according to your riches and glory in Christ Jesus. For it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Our closing hymn this morning, "As the Deer." Focused on Christ, we can come to Him. Shall we stand as we sing? May this be our prayer for one another. I do not cease to give thanks for you. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be and abide with each and every one of you now and forevermore.